The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So good afternoon to you, Melissa. Welcome to Freedom.
Good afternoon. Exciting times. Like this, to unpack and dive into.
Nice. So I know there is so much to talk about. We have the news, but let's get straight back into it. So far, the Minister of Finance announced that the Exim Bank will return to its proper mandate of supporting exporters through foreign currency loans for the first year, and repayments will be made in TTD. Now, I want to talk about that, but before that, for all listeners who don't really have an idea who you are, I mean, I know who you are, and I know who you are because I love Pascal Bakery. I grew up on it, right? So, guys, if you're now tuning in, let me tell you who we are here with. Melissa Pascal is an entrepreneur and leadership advocate in Trinidad and Tobago, and she is also the director and CEO of Pascal's Bakery, the family business that we all know, yeah, which under her leadership has evolved from a community bakery network to a larger-scale manufacturing private label incorporation. Now, she holds an academic training in economics and pursued a master's in business development and innovation. Let's get straight into it. So, Melissa, in your journey from a small, I want to start from the beginning for the ones who don't know you. So, in your journey from small import ventures to leading Pascal's Bakery through transformation and growth, what have been the key leadership lessons you carry into national dialogues?
I mean, at the end of the day, small businesses are the ones that drive the multiplier effect. What is that? Break it down. It's literally ensuring that this dollar that we get literally gets passed down. So let's say you buy a bread, that person now takes the bread that you buy from us, and then we pay wages, right? And then of course it trickles down because now, you know, the person, like the employees, now have money to spend, blah blah blah. Now, at the end of the day, if an economy is not diversifying, if we are reliant, let's say, you know, we always say we have this Dutch disease, and diversification is stunted, and the oil sector is actually slowing down. Dragon, is a future projection, is not current. So at the end of the day, the multiplier effect, that trickling of this, growing this $1 into $1.5 into $2 is less and less. Right. We need small businesses. We need cottage industries. Mm-hmm. We need collaboration.
Right.
And that is what, when you add all that up, is literally what literally equates our national level, our national scale.
Nice. Now let's turn to the 2026 budget. From your vantage point, from what you heard, what measures in the budget are most promising for stimulating SME growth, and which do you believe may fall short?
You know, I think the budget was an excellent politics, to be quite honest with you.
Excellent politics.
But if I'd be so bold to say dangerous economics. Reason I say that is because we are, as an economy, we are in a sticky situation. Everybody knows our Forex is an issue. Mm-hmm. And how can we, and then after we have 60% of our food being imported, right? Now, what is that in itself is a massive opportunity for growth, for expansion. But then after, again, if we import 60% of our food, what happens to our Forex? Where's that coming from?
Right
at the end of the day. So it's like we are stuck in this cycle, this loop. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of how are we truly addressing it. And it's a tough situation, you know. I mean, we had some wins for the households. You know, everybody was saying, oh, wow, it's amazing. We saving a dollar in gas or household level. But again, the same way that you're saving a dollar in gas, the alcohol budget now went up. You're getting taxed. So that is actually a regressive tax because, again, who's affected there? Mostly the low-income people, right? At the end of the day, now your stag may cost how much ever, right?
Right.
So think about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, you figure you're winning one way, but at the end of the day, the government need taxes in order to pay for every single thing, right?
Yeah, and I agree with you. Now, given the challenges with foreign exchange availability in Trinidad and Tobago, how can the 2026 budget better support SMEs that depend on imports, like, you know, the raw materials, the equipment, without getting crippled by forex constraints?
Take the tax advantage. I mean, at the end of the day, the minister has just identified, okay, the equipment that you have no VAT in it, bring it in one time at the end of the day, right? Because with of course with that machine, you now have increased output. You, of course, your cost of production has now gone down. At the end of the day, that's the biggest win I truly see for SMEs. I have not seen anything else per se, specifically for the SMEs. I mean, the Exim Bank, I mean, is only a favorable few if you're on that list and yeah. really benefit from that. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, how can I utilize? And I'm going to, and again, this is, you know, a simple thing as crypto. You know what I mean? I bring that inside of here. I mean, because again, that was very controversial. You know, they had to revise that act. Mm-hmm. But that is a way that economies that have forex issues, that is how you literally alleviate that, because that is purchasing power.
Right.
And,
right.
You don't have to rely on a weak currency.
Right. Now, the Minister of Finance said that the Exim Bank will return to its proper mandate of supporting exporters through foreign exchange currency loans for the first year. Repayments will be made in TTD, and then after which the loans will be paid back in the currency of the loans. Is that a win? What is that?
That is definitely a win at the end of the day, right? But again, it comes down to the terms as well that has been negotiated for, let's say, for your exporting, right? So at the end of the day, first day, of course, that alleviates pressure, of course. But at the end of the day, if your terms and conditions, your T's and C's for your first time, for your first engagement is a win for the immediate, but you have to have a solid business plan. You have to have a solid in place with your...
Stick up in there. We've got to take the news. Guys, coming up next is our 5 p.m. news headlines. Stick and stay. We will be back after this. So let's get back into it. I was talking about the Minister of Finance. He said that the Exim Bank will return to its proper mandate, whereby SMEs getting a loan, a foreign currency loan, right?
Yeah.
And for the first year, they will be paying back that loan in TTD, mm-hmm. and then after which they will be repaying the loan in the currency that they borrowed from.
Right.
So what I really wanted to find out, give us a gist of what that is and how important is it, or if it's a win. Let's hear.
I mean, it can be a win if you utilize it to its max capacity, like anything else in life, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, if you are exporting, if you're new to exporting, you know, and you have this opportunity, hey, guns blazing, you're going to take it and you're going to run with it. But then after, it's a matter of how are you utilizing that 1 year that you get to pay back in TTD? How are you going to reinvest to ensure that, one, you can maintain the quality that is necessary to export. You can also maintain the standards. You could ensure that you get repeat orders. You can handle the 60 days or the 90 days or how much ever the terms you actually for your purchaser as well. Mm-hmm. Because again, you have to be able to have the cash flow to withstand that as well.
Right.
There's so many components for you to actually be able to win. And it's not, I mean, the government is facilitating it. So we say, we are grateful for that. And it's definitely a win. But it's a matter of course, the businesses have to do their part as well. So it takes two hands to clap.
Nice, nice, nice. We got you. So let's jump straight into tourism. Because I know that is something that the Minister of Finance mentioned. He mentioned in it that it will have a tourism boost. And he said that they would develop the new products in the medical, sports, and cultural tourism sectors, facilitate the completion of hotels, including, I think it's Four Points, Hampton Inn, mm-hmm. Maracas Bay, and some others. But I want to find out from you, tourism is a key sector for many Caribbean economies, and what budget allocations or even incentives would you have liked to see in the 2026 budget to strengthen the tourism value chain?
You see, fantastic, right? At the end of the day, as you identified, we all know that we need to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
Tourism is a fantastic high growth sector worldwide, right? Economic diversification through tourism. All these were literally words that was mentioned in the budget.
Yeah.
Now, is it actually backed up by dollars and cents? Based on what I'm seeing so far, we have coastal protection, let's say, which protects tourist areas. We have about $300 million. Yes, we have some support for some facilitation of the building of four hotels.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, what is truly missing is basically, is there a tourism marketing budget?
Right.
Is there an SME tourism grant? Is there hospitality workforce training?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to come from the government per se. You know, it's a matter of, are we incorporating private sector to actually get involved to handle this training too?
Nice.
You know, cruise ship terminal investments.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned getting the private sector involved. How can government and the private sector collaborate more effectively through this budget or subsequent policy? Because, I mean, we still have to get more information on what is going to be done. And how can this ensure that incentives reach the micro and small level rather than being captured by the larger companies?
You see, that's the thing about this multiplier effect. We have the government focusing on massive consumption, right? Meaning they're giving the transfers, the pensions, focusing on NIB, which is fantastic to ensure that we're not drop in 2033.
Yes.
Well, as the government spending. But we ask ourselves, how, as you rightly said, how does it trickle down into the pockets? And the only way that happens is if we develop and continue to grow our SMEs and cottage industries.
Right.
However, it is a very difficult space when half the time you need support. You need things like Forex. You need access to a credit card to buy these things. It's very difficult to walk into a bank right now as a cottage industry, even to get a credit card.
Yes.
You know, the amount of hoops you have to jump through is just, it's impossible. It's the framework and the ease of doing business is what I would have loved to see addressed, some economic frameworks so that actual SMEs, we could actually encourage that. We could actually have private sector get involved, to actually get involved in training instead of having, let's say, apprenticeship only with the government. Why not have apprenticeship within and partner with the private sector so the private sector can actually train and nurture the exact workforce that we need?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, without a true apprenticeship program within the private sector, our students don't know what we need.
Mm. Now, foreign exchange constraints, you know, it often reduce the scale, right? Beyond budgetary allocations, what structural reforms would you urge to ease the forex squeeze on private sector enterprises?
I mean, at the end of the day, we as private sector, I could speak from food, you know. Even though we may not be exporting, let's say, for example, as private sector, there's an opportunity for import substitution. What do I mean by that? We can, let's say, go use our CSO data, which is our census, our data for import and export. Look at that data on that sheet and see what is it that we are importing, for example, in Pascal's Bakery.
Right.
When, mind you, Pascal's Bakery has been sold.
Well, I saw that. But I mean, I love the direction it's heading into.
Right.
And I love it. So let's see.
Right. So at the end of the day, identified how much millions we are spending, let's say, for example, Shibata. I found that data was literally found on public import substitution, CSO data.
Right.
That is an opportunity. So whatever is being imported in the country, literally a manufacturer, an SME, a cottage industry could say, you know what, if it's being imported, that's an opportunity for local manufacturing.
Right.
So even if you don't have the USD to go on, I mean, let's say you don't have the capacity to export, if it's being imported here, you have an opportunity to make money. Mm. You have an opportunity because you know there's a proven demand.
Yeah.
And that can happen in any food beverage manufacturer right now. There's nothing stopping you because our food bill is significantly high, right?
It's really, really high. And I wanted to come to that. Our import bill is a lot. What do you think what measures can the government put in place to reduce that? What can we do? Some people say, you know, buy local, but, you know, sometimes some persons have the issue whereby they're purchasing something here, down locally, and it's really expensive. So what are some measures can be put in place from the government so that, you know, we could kind of ease up on that import bill?
You know, I think definitely this is where the PMP, the public and private sector, comes together to really create an environment that is beneficial to the entire nation, right? So, example, if the government incentivizes SMEs, if it's through grants, not only grants, but also through tax incentives. For example, I just had a conversation with Marcus Chung, Sun Kao. They're basically a Fresh Start Juice, right? They have pivoted to now create a brand, an after-hours version where basically they are now, again, high import substitution manufacturing mixers for alcohol, right? So therefore, it no longer needs to be imported. They're taking their same juice, changing your whole target market, and now literally getting involved in the alcohol space as a mixer.
Right.
That is brilliant. Do you know how much that industry is worth?
Yeah.
You go to every single bar in the country and they have a mixer. So now what he has done now is basically gone after $5 to $6 million every single year. Mm-hmm. Think about as a whole pie. I'm not saying he's getting that, but that is diversification that's needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying he had the hunger to find it. But if the government offered tax incentives, of course, Which yeah. They said, you know what, no VAT on machinery. So yeah. that is a big win.
That's a big win. Now, we are about to wrap up because we're short on time and we have persons to interview again. Give me a little rating for this year's budget. Out of 10, where would you rate it?
As I said, I think it was an extremely well-delivered political budget.
Hmm.
Politics, they went after the populist vote. They definitely ensured that the households won,
mm-hmm.
meaning the immediate win. There was an immediate win. The dollar save on gas, that is very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Anything structurally economics, we have not dealt with our deep forex issue.
Yeah.
We haven't touched economic structural. We haven't touched that at all. So yeah. In reality, I will give us a 4.2.
4.2 out of 10.
Because again, we have not dealt with our massive issues that literally is needed to ensure our next mm-hmm. generation, or even 10 years from now, putting us in a better mm-hmm. place. This budget has not put us in a better place. It is immediate consumption. Yes, it will have a small multiply effect, maybe 1.3 to 1.4, but mm-hmm. in terms of investment, structural mm-hmm. economics, no.
Right. And what, last question, what were you looking forward to? What would you... Here in the budget, what would you have expected to see or hear?
Expected? Not much, to be honest with you, because I think politics in Trinidad is definitely overrides economics. However, what I would say is that we need bold economic transformation. And that's it. It's very simple.
Nice.
That's it.
All right. But Melissa, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And listen, keep your schedule open because we got to do this sometime this week or maybe next week to do it all over again, all right? I want to thank you for joining us. I love the conversation. It has some more questions I wanted to ask you, but I got to cut it short. All right? So thank you so much for joining us and we'll see how things go. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.